Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for July 21st, 2024 is based on Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 34 and 53 to 56. The guest preacher is Pastor Larry Donner.
And an introduction to the gospel. When Jesus sends his disciples out to teach and heal, they minister among large numbers of people. Their work is motivated by Christ's desire to be among those in need. Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. So they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Word of life, word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This sermon is about compassion. It's about seeing the need for it, making time for it, and then showing it even to the unlovable people around us. Now, you just read that Jesus and his own disciples were overwhelmed by the many people who wanted to see them to the point that they were unable to even eat. And you know what that's like, don't you? I mean, your time when you're so besieged by the kids and phone calls and meetings and deadlines that you don't even have time to eat your lunch. Well, that's how it was for Jesus that day and the 12 who were with him. And so Jesus said that they were going to go to a deserted place for some time to rest and to get something to eat. Now, this wasn't like going to a chaotic McDonald's or a busy Skyline Chili, which I mean I'd love to do after church on Sunday. No, this was to a deserted place where they could get some peace and quiet. And so off in the boat they went. But seeing Jesus and his band leave, the crowd ran after them. And apparently they ran pretty fast because they arrived at the destination before the boat even docked. And why did they do that? It was because they were hungry. They were hungry for the good news that Jesus said he had for the people. They wanted to be touched by him and healed by him, or even by his disciples, who reported that they had just returned and had done many miraculous things, healing people and casting out demons. Now, the crowd of people that day were just filled with their own misery and pain. But their hopes were high as they tried to get near Jesus. And you can almost picture them, can't you? Reaching out a withered hand and saying, "Touch me, Jesus," or "Bless me, Lord." Other perhaps just trying to stand as close as they can so that Jesus would see them and maybe do something. I think it's in times like that when you're confronted on every side by people who have all sorts of needs and want something for you, that the desire kind of wells up inside to run away, to get away from the burden, or just pretend that those people aren't really there. But we are told that Jesus was the what? The good shepherd, the loving shepherd. Because he looked upon the crowd and he had compassion for them. Now, compassion is not just feeling sorry for someone. It's not merely wishing better times for another person or having good intentions to help another person. It's not even about having sympathy for others. Compassion is being moved by the pain of another person to the point of feeling that pain yourself, being so caught up in the problem of another that your own heart aches as if the problem were yours. Taking on the problems and pains of another and then trying to alleviate it. Jesus, the good shepherd, the loving shepherd, had compassion, which first of all caused him to see the need and then take time to feed the crowd whose aching hearts just longed for news of grace and forgiveness. Jesus began to teach them many things, we're told. And as we'll hear next week, he also took time to feed their hungry bellies through the miracle of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Remember that one? So great was his love that Jesus took the time that was needed to show compassion, even though his own time was running out. But you and I both know that there are things that can get in the way of showing compassion, and sometimes it's just a matter of time, right? An ethics professor at Princeton Seminary once asked for volunteers for an extra credit project, and about half of the class, like 15 people, showed up and met him at the library to get their assignments for this special project. He divided the students into 3 groups, 5 people in each group. To the first group, he gave some envelopes, telling them to proceed immediately across the commons of the campus and go to Stewart Hall. And he said they had to get there and deliver those envelopes at Stewart Hall within 15 minutes. And if they didn't make it within 15 minutes, their grade would be harmed, shall we say, okay? A couple of minutes later, he handed out more envelopes to the second group, and they also had to get over to Stewart Hall, but they had 45 minutes to complete their assignment. And then to the third group, they had the same assignment, take the envelopes to Stewart Hall, but they had 3 hours. Now, what the students didn't know was that the professor had made arrangements with 3 drama students to meet the seminarians along their journey. Near the beginning of their walk, 1 drama student had his hands on his head and he was acting like he was in a lot of pain. About halfway to Stewart Hall, on the steps of the chapel, the seminary students would pass by a man who was lying on his face on the ground as if he were unconscious. And then finally, right on the steps of Stewart Hall, there was a student who was acting as if he had a seizure. In that first group of seminarians, the ones who only had 15 minutes to get across the campus, not 1 student stopped to help any of the 3 drama students acting out their pain. In the second group, 2 students stopped to help. In the last group that had 3 hours to get across, every student stopped and helped at least 1 of the people. So through that little situation, the professor taught those seminarians that yielding to the weight of time can get in the way of showing compassion. And we probably have all been there, yes? on one side or the other. The magnitude of the need can also get in the way. After all, we can't take care of everyone. And so it's easy to put on our blinders and not even look for those who are in need of our compassion, like the people standing at the stop sign with their hunger signs. And we look up and drive away. Happens. In a church one Sunday morning, as the pastor began to read that same gospel passage that I just read, this murmur rose up in the back of the church near the doors. To the dismay of several members, a shocking pair of visitors had entered. There was this tall, blonde, bearded man who looked kind of like a skeleton in a grimy old coat. And with him was a woman dressed in a shapeless old dress and a tattered sweater, a scarf on her head that could not conceal her dirty black hair. "I wonder if they're married," whispered a woman in the back row. "What are they doing in this church?" grumbled one man. And from her usual seat out in the back, old Constance Burke just kind of squinted at the visitors, apparently as confused as ever. The pastor, trying to avoid trouble, paused for a moment to try to welcome this young couple, this strange couple, but that was easier said than done, because you see, they had to kind of wind their way to the front of the sanctuary to find the only vacant seats, because all of the regulars always sat in the back, you know, like good Lutherans tend to do. You're pretty, you know, well, you're not too bad this time. And then the pastor continued the reading. He read, "As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." Kind of gulping at the aptness of this verse, the pastor then went on to preach his sermon, which was about showing compassion to those who were in need. And that was followed by the offering, and then the choir sang its anthem. And then finally, the pastor stood up again, and he said, "Okay, it's time now for our prayers, but before I offer the prayers, let's find out what we have to pray about." He says, "John," and he motioned to one of the ushers. He said, "Would you bring up the microphone so that we can have a brief time of sharing our needs?" And the pastor, he tried not to stare at this young couple who had entered, but he really hoped that they would share their obvious need, because after all, this was a unique circumstance and a chance for the church to show its compassion. "Just a brief time," he repeated, kind of unconsciously nodding at old Constance Kirk in the back. You see, old Constance just loved these sharing times, really loved them. She would jump up as fast as her arthritic legs would allow her to do, and she would grab the mic, and then she would ramble on and on about some long-forgotten event or person, and the whole congregation would kind of look down at the floor, embarrassed, as Constance tried to remember a Bible verse or something. The pastor's hopes rose as the bearded young man jumped to his feet, but Constance was quicker, and she picked up the mic first, taking the microphone from that reluctant usher, and you could almost hear this audible groan coming up from the congregation. "Thank you, Constance," said the pastor after a minute or more of the poor woman going on and on. But it didn't stop her, and she continued. And the pastor is thinking to himself, "I just wish she would take the hint. I mean, she's embarrassing herself, just making a spectacle of herself." And others in the congregation just shook their heads. Well, finally, Constance surrendered the microphone. And that skinny young man then got up, and he took the mic, and he said, "You know, I don't know much about talking in church, but my old lady, I mean, my wife and I, we really need some help with food and a place to stay." "Well, I'm sure we can help you," said the pastor, hardly able to hold back his delight that this walking sermon illustration had come to the church that day. So he then prayed fervently for this young couple and for all the families there and for people everywhere. And then after church, at the fellowship hour, the pastor and his wife brought some coffee and cookies over to the young couple, only to find out that other people in the congregation had already done the same. Why not stay at my house tonight, one couple said. Oh, we were just about to ask the same thing, said some others. And the pastor is watching these proceedings taking place. He's smiling, this big, broad smile. He hugs his wife because he's thinking people are finally taking time to show compassion, that deep compassion inside of them. But over in the corner, by the coffee, old Constance Perk was sitting alone with a cup in his hand. He looked at all the people rushing by to help clean up the fellowship hall and help this young couple. And then after a few more minutes, she got to her feet, limped out the door, and walked back to her apartment alone. It's not that we don't want to be compassionate, but yielding to the weight of time can get in the way of showing compassion. It's not that we don't want to be compassionate, but we are so easily blinded to people right in our midst that need our compassion. Is that not the dilemma of being sinful human beings? Which raises this truth. Each of us is in need of receiving compassion as much as we are confronted with the need to dole it out. It's because before we can act, we need to be acted upon. And so wouldn't it be great? I mean, wouldn't it be just great to have someone take time and show us the compassion that we need in the midst of our pain and our sin and our problems? Well, thank God then for our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the loving shepherd, did not only take time for the crowd that day near the Sea of Galilee, he took time for us. In his great compassion, he took all the time needed on a cross so that in his dying and rising again, we could be free from the constraints of time, free from our blindness to need, free to finally be the people, the compassionate, loving people of God. You know, the truth is that time died on that cross along with our sin. Because Jesus is the loving shepherd, who by his victory over death is Lord even over time, we who felt unlovable have a whole eternity waiting for us, and time now to be to show all the compassion that is needed. St. Catherine of Siena was asked by one of her nuns, how can I pay God back for all of his goodness to me? How can I give back to God some glory for all of his kind compassion and mercy and generosity? And St. Catherine answered, it won't do any good to do more penances. It won't do you any good to build a great new cathedral because God has the whole world as a sanctuary. It won't do you any good to add more quiet time and prayer. But I can tell you something which you really can do to pay God back for the compassion he gives you. Find someone as unlovable as you and give that person the kind of love that God has given to you. This sermon is about compassion. It's about seeing the need for it, making the time for it, and showing it.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.